My friends, the dispensational premillennial theories assert great speculative repose in the so-called Battle of Armageddon. The Bible speaks of Armageddon, but in no way related to the fanciful theories about a battle at Armageddon originating by mortal men. The word occurs in the Bible one time, but Battle of Armageddon is not a Bible expression. In Revelation 16:16, the Bible says, "And he gathered them together in a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon." Revelation 16:16. Armageddon has been a battleground recorded in Jewish history, but not a future battleground for the saints of God in the reign of Christ. J.L. Hulbert, Bible and geographer, states on page 15 of Bible Atlas that, quote, "more battles have been fought on this plain than any other field in the world." Napoleon, the great military general, once called Armageddon the perfect battlefield, obviously before modern warfare of our times. There are fantastic, ridiculous concepts of the Battle of Armageddon. Hal Lindsey has created more speculative acceptance without an ounce or degree of biblical authority than perhaps any man in modern times. Many preachers and Sunday school teachers are being influenced more by his writings than the Bible. His books, The Late Great Planet Earth and Countdown to Armageddon, has helped greatly to popularize the totally false doctrine. In his more recent book, 1980, Countdown to Armageddon, he makes a very fascinating statement following the assassination of President Sadat of Egypt. It is reported that he said in an interview that the assassination of the Egyptian president moves up Armageddon closer to the war to destroy the world that we were before the day he died. What a fantastic claim. Incredible. My friends, there's nothing in the Bible that even resembles this kind of human prophetic dogma. Therefore, a people who must speculate about a battle of Armageddon should realize that this theory, like many others, originated with man and not with God. May I point out to you some of the inconsistencies and impossibilities from the Bible viewpoint about this false teaching. This theory declares that there will be a literal carnal conquest between the nations of the earth gathered in the Valley of Megiddo before the second coming of Christ. This battle, they speculate, is designed to terminate all life on earth. But at the Lord's chosen moment, Jesus will return to the earth and save mankind from annihilation. This great final battle, they say, will involve Israel and Egypt and Arab nations, Russia, Red China, and the European nations. And Antichrist, with dictatorial tyrannical leadership like Hitler, will amass great war power immediately and engage the final battle of Armageddon. The great communist power, Russia, will fight, but will be completely destroyed by Western Europe, they say. Then, according to this book, The Late Great Planet Earth, page 151, the end will come. This is what the false prophet says. With united Arab and African armies neutralized by Russian invasion, and the consequent complete annihilation of Russian forces and their homeland, we have only two great spheres of power left to fight the final climatic battle of Armageddon: the combined forces of Western civilization under the leadership of a Roman dictator, and the vast hordes of Orient, probably under the Red Chinese war machine. Mr. Lindsey predicts that after possible time allowed for their military mobilization, these hostile powers will meet in battle on a line which will extend throughout Israel from the vortex centered in the Valley of Megiddo, end of quotation. My friends, such claims are impossible. He claims that just one of these military groups will have 200 million soldiers in its mobilized army of fighters. He says that so many will be killed in this mighty military conflict, and I quote, that blood will stand to the horses' bridles for a distance of 200 miles northward and southward of Jerusalem. Page 154. The speculator concludes, as the Battle of Armageddon reaches its awful climax, and it appears that all life will be destroyed on earth, in this very moment, Jesus will return and save man from self-extinction. Page 156. Ladies and gentlemen, let us consider some of the fallacies of this ridiculous theory, which is claimed by these men who are promoting this false theory. It is claimed that hundreds of millions will be engaged in the Battle of Armageddon in the Valley of Megiddo. On two different occasions, I have had the pleasure of visiting the Valley of Megiddo. As I have stood there and looked down over the Valley of Megiddo, I thought, how ridiculous and absurd can man be to think that armies numbering into hundreds of millions of men with their military equipment could ever stand shoulder to shoulder in such a small place. They would have to stand on each other's shoulders, probably 50 men high, just to assemble there. The entire area of Megiddo is smaller than the county in which I live in northeast Texas. My friends, hear me. Are you listening? The miracle of placing armies of hundreds of millions of fighting men in an entire area of Megiddo would make the miracle of the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea look like crossing your swimming pool in your backyard. It is a false concept, ladies and gentlemen. Authoritative sources tell us that the plain of Megiddo is approximately 20 miles long and 14 miles wide. And not only is this comparatively small area incapable of accommodating hundreds of millions of soldiers, as they say, I'm wondering about the horses that will be a part of the battle equipment, according to Mr. Lindsay, who said that blood will stand to the horses' bridles, end quote. The would-be prophet seems to be very anxious to make literal interpretations of some prophecies, while others may be rejected. But what consistency rejects this false reasoning? Does this false prophet mean to tell us that the final war of Armageddon, the modern implements of war, will include horses? Perhaps to replace the armed vehicles, tanks, and even bombs and nuclear weapons? This false theory, my friends, says that hundreds of millions of soldiers and their horses, stacked in a small area of 20 by 14 miles, are to fight the one battle of all ages, and then, just the right moment, Jesus our Lord will come, spare the whole human race from being destroyed from the face of the earth, all to set up his kingdom on earth, where he will reign from the city of Jerusalem for another 1,000 years. Ladies and gentlemen, how mistaken can the mistaken be? Armageddon, referred to in Revelation chapter 16, is in no way related to carnal warfare in Megiddo, Jerusalem, Texarkana, Texas, or anywhere else in the world. The Battle of Armageddon, to which the Apostle John refers, is a spiritual conflict. The Holy Spirit, no doubt, used the physical, military, decisive battles of Megiddon as a figurative, symbolic setting to describe the great spiritual conflict between good and evil, between the forces of evil, of falsehood and error, and the forces of truth and righteousness, the soldiers of the cross fighting for the truth spiritually, fighting for Christ and against the devil. This word, Armageddon, occurs only one time in the Bible and definitely refers to spiritual conflicts. The climax and final success of this great battle will come when Christ wins the final victory over Satan and the forces of evil. Yes, Christ and his disciples will overcome. The word overcome, relating to this great battle, is a pronounced, decisive expression of victory for the saints of God. The theme of this profound book of Revelation may be said to be overcome. If you will overcome, you may come over and live with God, is the theme. The emphasis on the spiritual victory, overcoming Satan and his evil forces, may be seen in Revelation chapters 2, verses 7, 11, 17, and 26. And in chapter 3, verses 5, 12, and 21, and chapter 12, verses 11, and chapter 21, verse 7. In 1 John 5, 4, the inspired apostle declared, "For whatsoever is begotten of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that hath overcome the world, even our faith." The Holy Spirit dictated through John, "And he that overcometh, and he that keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give authority over the nations." Revelation 2, 26. This victory through faith and works, referred to in these scriptures, warrants this sublime and divine acclamation: "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." Revelation 2, verse 10. My friends, are you listening? The kingdom of the Lord is not of this world. For the would-be prophets and speculators to make Armageddon a carnal war between the nations is to completely misunderstand the nature of the kingdom of Christ. When the Jews accused Jesus of claiming to be king over an earthly kingdom, the Lord answered Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews." John 18, 36. The Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, declared, "For the weapons of our warfare are not flesh, but mighty before God, to the casting down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. The apostle affirms that the Christian's armor is a spiritual one, not carnal. And the sword used by the Christian is the sword of the Spirit, which is sharper than any two-edged sword, as expressed in Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 and Hebrews 4, 12, and that's the Word of God. The inspired apostle declared that Christians are engaged in this great battle of life and destiny now, not some future day. To Timothy he wrote, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life." 1 Timothy 6:12. Timothy was charged by the apostle that thou mayest war the good warfare. 1 Timothy 1:18. In the following verses, verse 19 in particular, the apostle spoke of the battles of the Christian life, how that some made shipwreck concerning the faith. To the Christians at Corinth, Paul declared, "So fight I, not beating the air, but I buffet my body, and bring it into bondage, lest by any means, that after I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected." 1 Corinthians 9, verses 26 and 27. The apostle Paul fought in this great war almost 2,000 years ago. He fought a successful battle. In the sunset of life, he declared, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day, and not to me only, but also to all them that have loved his appearing." 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. My friends, I beg you, become a Christian through faith and obedience to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Our Lord commands, you will recall, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." He didn't say anything about waiting for the great battle at Armageddon. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38 through verse 47, it is recorded that the believers who repented and were baptized for the remission of sins were added to the Lord's church, citizens of the kingdom of the Lord, 2,000 years ago. Why not become a true soldier of Christ and become engaged in this great battle of Christianity? It is a battle against Satan and against sin. It is a battle for the salvation of the souls of men. As I pointed out to you in this address, the greatest battle for life and destiny is not some imaginary carnal battle on a small area of Megiddo near Jerusalem, but the only battle now or ever will be is the battle for the salvation of the souls of men. Do not be misled by false teachers. It would be a losing battle for your soul. When the battles of this life have ended and the Christian has won the victory, there will be no more time for preparation for eternity, no reign of Christ on this earth for battle or peace. When Christ comes again, he will come to deliver the kingdom back to God the Father in peace and love, not with a sword stained by the blood of thousands defeated in the battle of Armageddon. When Jesus comes again, then cometh the end, the Bible says, when he shall deliver up the kingdom to God, even the Father, as the inspired apostle declared in 1 Corinthians 15:24. Will you be ready?